This morning, we are going to treat this message a little bit as if we were in the classroom in Montana, where I am going to be teaching, and we're going to treat it like that. So there'll be some opportunity for interaction, and we're going to treat it like the classroom, going through the book of Deuteronomy. Sound good? All right. Well, even if it doesn't, I guess we're going to do it. So I am super excited to talk about the book of Deuteronomy. This book has changed so much of how I have viewed my own personal walk with the Lord, and we will get there towards the end, but how I view the entire Bible. Deuteronomy, I have titled this an appeal for the heart to remember, relive, and recommit. So this is actually, I'm going to be using some of these slides, or when I taught the book of Deuteronomy in the SBS, I've used some of these slides. So this is, you are seeing the exact slide. Chloe knows it well. So, all of the books afterwards in the Old Testament, they flow from and are rooted in understanding the book of Deuteronomy. This is the most critical and essential book for understanding the prophets, for understanding what is going on in the depths of Isaiah and Jeremiah as you're 50 charts in and you're thinking, what's going on? Deuteronomy is essential for understanding that. Deuteronomy is the most pivotal book, I would say, in the Old Testament for understanding the rest of the Old Testament. So I want to tell you a story about a man, his wife, their daughter, and her grandson. So, there was a man, and he was an amazing musician. He was a prodigy. He was recognized as having talent by his friends, and he goes out on tour with his friends. You can go to the next one. He's recognized as this musical prodigy, and his friend comes, and he says, "Hey, you're an awesome guitarist. You're an amazing band. You'd be amazing in a band together." And so the man says, "All right, sweet, I'll go." And he leaves a token with his daughter. And he got caught up in all of the fame. He realized that he wanted a quiet life. So you can go to the next slide. This is the token that he left with his daughter. And then the next one, he goes and he realizes as they're rocking and rolling, "Hey, actually, this isn't the life for me." And he thinks of his wife and of his daughter back home. And he says, "You know what? No, I'm actually going to give up guitar. I'm going to give up this life of rock and roll. And I'm going to go back to my family." And his friend says, "I don't think so." And secretly kills the man so that he can't go back to his family. But see, his family thought that he had abandoned them. His family thought that he had chosen music over them. So his family says, "You know what? Guitars, put a big red X on them. We are done with music. We are done with anything that would lead to musicians coming again because we don't want to go through that hurt." Until one day, this man's great-grandson, the daughter with the token's grandson, goes on a journey, and he realizes that this token that was given to the daughter, this token is actually not any mere token. It is a song. And he plays that song to his grandmother because his grandfather was in danger of being lost to all of history. And he needed to play this song for her so that he could be remembered. So they find out that the token is actually a song. Now, this story may sound familiar. Does anybody know what story this is? It's Coco, exactly. This is the story of Coco, the movie of Coco. Now, I want to make a disclaimer that in no way am I saying the theology of the afterlife in the movie of Coco is something that we should take on as our own theology, but the idea of remembrance, the idea of being remembered leading to life and forgetting leading to death, that is the message of Deuteronomy. In remembrance, there is life, and in forgetting, there is death. So, One disclaimer that I want to make as we continue is that we aren't going to be able to go through every part of the book of Deuteronomy, although I would love to do that. We are going to have to kind of break it down a little bit more. So Deuteronomy 32, 46 through 47 says, "Take to heart all the words by which I'm warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all of the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. For by this word you shall live long. So in remembrance and in obedience, there is life." So today we are going to look at four things. We're going to look at the background of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at the structure of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at a few themes of this book and the main message. What is the author trying to say? All right, so background. First, I want to start with a little speed run. We're going to do 400 years in 4 minutes. You guys ready? Let's go. So Israel, nation of Israel, thousands of years ago, are in slavery to the nation of Egypt. For 400 years, they've been in slavery. So that's older than America to this date that they've been in slavery. Think about that. Okay, so then God says, I'm gonna save my people, I'm gonna deliver them. And he brings them through the Red Sea. It's this amazing salvation moment. Then he leads them to Mount Sinai in the wilderness, and he gives them a law. Because they are essentially Egyptian, right? They've been in Egypt for over 400 years, and they think that Amun-Ra, the sun god, is the ultimate God. And they don't know about Yahweh, the God of the Bible. So he gives them a law of who Yahweh is and how do you worship him. Then he says, all right, I have this inheritance for you. I have this promised land for you to go and take. So go and take it. They send out spies to go into the promised land to scope it out. And the spies come back and say, hey, it's actually really scary. We don't trust God to be able to give this to us. And we actually want to go back to Egypt. So God punishes them for their disobedience, and they are to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they can enter the promised land. And this is in order for the next generation of Israel to be able to enter the land. And this is the point that Deuteronomy is written. They are on the verge of entering the promised land. They have been wandering for 40 years. So think of the anticipation that they would be feeling. Think about the expectation that they would have. Some of them have been in the wilderness for 39 years doing a bunch of U-turns. Think of the anticipation and the expectation that they would have. So Moses says, he writes one last message to them before they go into the land in order to help them live long and to take it and to hold it well. So there were a lot of laws and rules that they seemed to misunderstand. Fair enough, right? The last part of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, part of Numbers can be kind of confusing with all the goats and sheep and cows. Like, what's going on, right? So they had similar confusions with the law. So Moses attempts to kind of re-explain the law, to give them a second law to help them enter the promised land. And that's actually what Deuteronomy means. It means second law. So Deuteros means second, nomos means law, second law. He is re-explaining, he is giving them, it's almost like a coach in the locker room, giving them one last pep talk before they go and play their final game. So that's kind of the idea that we get in the book of Deuteronomy. So next we're going to look at structure. That's the background, structure. The book of Deuteronomy is actually presented as an ancient treaty. There are a lot of records that give examples of treaties between a higher king and a lower king. And those treaties would typically have a preamble. Okay, what's going on? Who are the people involved? A history. Okay, what has happened between these two kings? Stipulations or the rules. Okay, what does the lower king have to do for the higher king? Then there's a ratification saying we both agree to this, and if the lower king rebels, there are curses and blessings. If they obey, there's the blessings of you actually, I won't annihilate you. But if you disobey, there's the curses of I'm going to come and I'm going to take all of your land and you're going to be forced into slavery with me. And then there are witnesses, and they usually call upon their pagan gods as witnesses. Like, the god of war is going to come at you if you disobey me. So Deuteronomy actually is presented in this structure, where there's a preamble in the first part of chapter 1 where it says, okay, who's involved? Moses, they're on the opposite side of the Jordan. They're about to enter the land. And then it goes into about 4 chapters of history telling of the faithfulness of God. And then there's the stipulations and the rules. There's general rules presented in chapter 5. There's the repeat of the Ten Commandments. And then there's specific rules starting in chapters 12 through 26 of specific things of, okay, you need to worship here. You need to not do this. You need to do that. Don't do that, right? So there's the chapters 1 through 11 is a history. There's the chapters 12 through 26 of rules and laws. And then chapters 27 through 34 is this confirmation of God saying, this is what is expected of you. And Israel says, yes, we will do it. And so these 3 main chunks of Deuteronomy can actually be re-evaluated or rethought of as the first chapters being remember, the second chunk being relive, and the third chunk being recommit. They need to remember the faithfulness of God. They need to relive those moments and recognize that it actually causes them to need to relive. They have a new way that they have to live going into the promised land. And then they are to recommit in faithfulness and in obedience to Yahweh. So remember, relive, recommit. And this becomes one of the biggest themes of Deuteronomy. To remember or not forget. The key to their life and success in the promised land is rooted in their remembrance of Yahweh. So you'll see there's this idea of take care lest you forget what you have seen, lest you forget the covenant and make an idol or an image, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, lest you forget God and do not keep his commandments. There's a couple more. So one of the main themes of Deuteronomy is to not forget. Take care. Watch out. Don't forget, because only in Yahweh is their life. Only in the God of the Bible is their life. So the key to obedience is to remember. And obedience becomes the second main theme of Deuteronomy. There are multiple passages that talk about listen and do these things that you may live and possess the land. If you act corruptly, you will not live long in the land. Walk that you may live and that it would go well and that you would live long. So there's this connection, the intertwine of obedience and life. You need to remember, you need to obey, and that's how you will have life in the land. And the last theme, the main theme of Deuteronomy, is the theme of the heart. So in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, this is a very famous passage, especially to Jews. It's called the Shema. It means listen or hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your might, all of your muchness. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. So this is the book of Deuteronomy. The main message, Deuteronomy as a whole, is an appeal for their hearts. That this wouldn't just be obedience for obedience' sake, but that this would be rooted in a love and a heart after God. Remember, relive. Relive those moments. Relive the Red Sea. Relive those salvation moments. Relive those moments in the wilderness. For 40 years they were wandering, and it says their shoes did not wear out. And their clothes did not rip off their backs. 40 years. I can't even go 3 years in my shoes. Stay without holes. 40 years of faithfulness. Relive those moments. And let them bring you to recommit in faithfulness and in obedience to God. Deuteronomy, an appeal for the heart. To remember, to relive, and to recommit. The way of this remembrance and what he's calling them to is because their heart is hard and prone to wander. Our hearts are prone to wander. We have fickle hearts. They go back and forth between all different things. We think, oh yes, I love God, but I also really want money. I love God, but I also really want fame. I love God, but I also really want X, Y, or Z. Our hearts are prone to be drawn to things other than him. And Deuteronomy brings this challenge, brings this reminder that only in Yahweh, a heart fully devoted to him is their life. Only in Yahweh is their life. In this soft heart, in this obedience, they will find that life. And the way to this soft heart, the way to this obedience and the subsequent life is to remember the faithfulness of God. That they would remember all that God has done for them, that they would relive those moments, and that would push them to recommit to him in faithfulness. Because he alone holds the blessings of life, the blessings of abundance. The blessings are only found in him. And I believe that there's actually a similar call to us today. Just as in the movie Coco, there's this call to, they need to remember in order for their great-grandfather to live. And only in remembrance is their life. And in Deuteronomy, Moses is calling Israel and saying, hey, you need to remember Yahweh. You need to remember what he's done these last 40 years as you go into the land. I think there's a similar call to us to remember God and his faithfulness to us every day of our lives. Because we as humans are prone to forget and are quick to rely on ourselves for what we think that we need. We are so prone to go back and forth, to move on so quickly from anything and everything in our lives. Like, can you remember what you had 3 days ago for breakfast? Probably not, unless you're somebody who eats the same thing every day, I guess. But we are prone to forget. And the key to forgetting, the key to living a lifestyle of not forgetting God, but remembering him, is to obey, is to relive these moments every single day. But God's call to us is not to rely on ourselves because we are prone to wander, but to rely on him, the faithful God. And these provisions for us as we're in our own wandering season here on this earth until the new earth, until heaven comes and Christ returns, our call in our wandering is to remember God, remember his faithfulness in our lives. The moments of God's faithfulness are times that we are to constantly relive and re-experience, be dwelling on them, meditating on them. And these are to push us towards a recommitment to faithfulness and obedience to him. So the encouragement that I want to bring to all of us, and myself absolutely included, is what are moments of God's faithfulness in the past that you need to remember? So I want to take 30 seconds. For you to think, what are moments recently or long ago that I've forgotten, that I've let become stale in my mind? What are moments of God's faithfulness that you need to remember? So we're going to take 30 seconds for you to think. You can write it down, type it down. What are moments of God's faithfulness that you need to remember? Okay, now I'm going to hold you a little accountable, and you have to tell the person next to you what is one of those moments that you feel like the Lord is telling you that you need to remember. So go ahead and share 30 seconds, whatever it needs to be, something short. The person next to you, share what that moment or one of those moments is. If you haven't switched, go ahead and let the other person share their moment. So I wanted to share my moment that I feel like the Lord has challenged me the last days, weeks, even since I taught the book back in around February. This call to remember is super near and tender in my heart, because some of you may know, some of you may not, but I've had some chronic back issues ever since I turned 18. I've had some pretty bad back issues where it's hard for me to bend over. I can't really rotate. I can't really play sports very well, except for pickleball. I can play pickleball, so praise God for that. But last year at this time, I had severely debilitating sciatic pain all down my left leg. And I could hardly walk. I wasn't able to jog without limping immediately. I was in this excruciating pain day and night. And that lasted for about 11 months. And I went to doctors, I went to physical therapists, I went to all these things, I got imaging. And eventually, after doing all the physical therapy and all of the health stuff, my neurosurgeon said, okay, I think at this point, the only option for you is surgery. And I hear back surgery and I think, oh, shoot, that's scary. That's something that, as my dad is a doctor, he's always said, back surgery is something you want to avoid, all of that. But my wife and I really felt like, we feel like this is what the Lord has for us. And as scary as it is, we're going to trust in him to use surgery as a means of healing. And so I went in for back surgery in November. And to this day, I don't have any lingering sciatic pain in my legs. Amen. Amen. And that is so amazing, and that's so awesome, and I'm so grateful for that. Every time I think about what the pain I used to be and not being able to lay down, I think, wow, God, thank you. And yet, I still have my old chronic issues where it's hard for me to bend over. I can't really twist. I still have those issues. And I think, God, why didn't you fully heal me? Why didn't you give me this? Why couldn't you have just gone the whole way and helped me out? My heart is so prone to forget the miracle of God healing my sciatic pain. But because now I have something came back that I didn't notice as much when I had the worst pain, I think, God, where are you? Where's your faithfulness? He has been so, so faithful to me. And I feel like the Lord has challenged me. Isaac, I've been faithful, and you actually need to remember that. You need to relive. Go back in your mind to that sciatic pain that you had last year and how awful it was, and see my faithfulness. Relive those moments and let it cause you to recommit to me. And my promise that I gave you, he gave me a promise 5 years ago that he's going to heal me, whether it's in this life or the next. He's going to heal me. And I am believing for that. And until that day comes, whether I'm able to walk around like this or not, whether I've had to sit on a stool as I teach books of the Bible, I feel really strongly that there's a moment right now that the Lord wants to speak to you even more than he did when we talked about this question. That he wants to speak to you more about, okay, what is this thing that you need to remember? Jesus, would you speak to us? What are these things? What are these moments in our lives that we need to remember? What is your faithfulness in our lives? That even in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our wandering, and it feels like 39 U-turns in the wilderness and nothing is changing, what do we need to remember of your faithfulness to us last week, last year, last decade? I want to go to the slide of Deuteronomy 32, 46 through 47. Oh, perfect. And he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I'm warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. Parents, I want to tell you right now, as a child that grew up in a household that retold the faithfulness of God every week, every day we would have Bible studies, and my dad and my mom would lead us out, and they would tell us of this faithfulness of God. There was a time my dad didn't get paid for like 5 months, and then he finally got paid, but in that waiting, we had what we needed. We didn't have anything else, but we had what we needed. So to the parents, I want to say, recount the stories of God's faithfulness to your kids. They need to hear these stories of faithfulness from those who have gone before. And that goes to grandparents and great-grandparents as well. We need to be people that retell the faithfulness of God. For it is no empty word for you. Moses talking to Israel of the book of Deuteronomy and the laws and the call to remembrance. This is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word, you shall live long in the land. Moses to Israel is talking about the book of Deuteronomy, but I think there's a very similar idea for us here today. For by this word, you will live. By this word, you will live. This is no empty word. This is not just a book. This is our very life. This is where we see the character and nature of God. This is where we see the person of Jesus. This is our very life. By holding to this, we will live long. I'm not talking about a long lifespan here, but I'm talking about eternal life. We will live long in that land. This is no empty word. And this is why we do what we do. This is why we've given up. It doesn't even feel like a sacrifice because we love it so much, honestly. Although it is a sacrifice being far away from family, and you know, every year my nephews are like way taller. But this is why we do what we do, and this is why we say we have the best job ever, because we get to be in this book day in and day out and walk other people through it. This book holds life. So I want to transition now, and I just want to say thank you guys. Thank you for your continued partnership with what we are doing with Youth with a Mission in Montana, and with what you are doing as you're partnering with us in the Bible transforming people's lives. We are only able to do this because of you. This year, we had a school of 44 students and 20 staff. You will see Chloe up there if you look hard enough. And I want to give you a couple encouraging statistics, not for numbers' sake, but sometimes numbers are helpful. So there's 44 students, over 1,200 hours studying the Bible in these last 9 months. And I think this is the coolest thing. 22 students responded by applying to go overseas in a program called Titus Project, where they go and they take the inductive method and Bible overview and some of these basic teachings, and they go and teach it to pastors who have no biblical training. They just said, I want to follow Jesus and I'll lead my family. They get to take the Bible and teach these pastors in these nations what it's all about. 22 students responded by applying to go overseas. That's half of the students. And the students that didn't apply to go overseas are going back to their families, are going back to college, are coming back to staff because they've seen the missional heart of God. They've seen that God's heart has always been for all nations, for all people to know him. And all people, all nations, includes our brothers, includes our moms, our dads, includes the people of Papua New Guinea, the people of India. And we are only able to be a part of this, of seeing all of these students see the missional heart of God and respond by being missional themselves because of you. And we are so grateful for your partnership and what God is doing in these students' lives. So I want to just close with this. Remember the faithfulness of God every day. Relive those moments. Tell those moments to your kids, to your friends, to your brothers. And let these moments be moments that bring you to recommit in faithfulness to God. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your word. Thank you that this is our life, that we have eternal life with you to look forward to. Jesus, we are so grateful. God, I am so grateful for this privilege of being able to teach your word day in and day out. God, I pray a blessing over all of us here today that you would help us to remember, to relive, and to recommit to you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.